Welcome, fellow explorers. My name is Christian Alexanderson, and this is Hemlocks to Hellbenders, a podcast highlighting Pennsylvania's parks, forests, and great outdoors. On April 8th, 2024, Pennsylvanians will have the chance to see something special, something that's not been seen in our Commonwealth since 1925. From about 3:15 to 3:20 p.m., the moon will pass between the Earth and the Sun, blocking the Sun's light. A total solar eclipse. This eclipse will cross 15 states in North America, including Pennsylvania, from the southwest to the northeast. While this awe-inspiring event will be visible in much of Pennsylvania, the most spectacular view will be in the eclipse's path of totality. The path is the track of the moon's shadow across the Earth's surface. In the eclipse's path of totality, visitors will see the sun totally eclipsed by the moon. This path will cross a portion of northwest Pennsylvania, including Erie, Crawford, Warren, and Mercer counties. If the weather is clear, those in the path will see the afternoon sky go dark for nearly 4 minutes. During those 4 minutes, you may be able to see, with proper eye protection, the sun totally eclipsed by the moon as well as Venus and Jupiter. We will not see another solar eclipse like this here in Pennsylvania until 2144. It's a big deal that stirred the imagination of countless Americans that want to see something special and incredibly rare. Millions are expected to flood places in the path of totality, like Erie. Four state parks in Pennsylvania lie within the path of totality, which will bring millions to a small sliver of the Keystone State to get a view of this majestic wonder. Millions of visitors means traffic. It means no vacancies at hotels. And it means little chance that you'll be able to whip up a last-minute trip up north. But not all hope is lost. For Pennsylvanians who find themselves outside of the path of totality, they will see a partial solar eclipse, similar to what Pennsylvanians saw during the 2017 eclipse. So before the big day comes, let's learn about this magnificent event. I'm excited to welcome Susan Schneck to the podcast. Susan is the Environmental Education Specialist at Cherry Springs State Park. Susan, thanks so much for joining the program.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me on today.
What can we expect to see during this solar eclipse?
I think it depends on where you are in Pennsylvania. Some parts of Pennsylvania, the sky is going to go completely dark, much like just after sunset or just before sunrise. Other parts of Pennsylvania are going to be more like a cloudier day, just slightly less sunlight for 3 to 4 minutes. It depends on where you are. Northwestern corner of the state up near Erie is in the path of totality. Southeastern corner of the state down near Philly is going to be more like a giant cloud just went over the sun.
Can you explain the eclipse's path of totality? What is that?
So the eclipse's path of totality is the moon's shadow falling on the Earth. So the moon is going right in front of the sun, and then the Earth is spinning. We're spinning on our axis. The moon is also going around us. So that shadow moves as we continue with our rotation around our axis and the moon going around us as well. This is sort of a thought experiment, but if you go like into a dark room and you bring your phone with you, so you have a flashlight, and you make a fist in front of your face, and you have a mirror in that room, and shine your phone's flashlight on your face with your fist in front of your face, and then start moving your head, and you'll see the shadow of your fist crossing your face. It's a really similar idea to what's happening with the moon shadow as it's falling on the Earth on April 8th.
What's the significance of this solar eclipse?
So this solar eclipse is significant in that Pennsylvania will be at least a little bit within the path of totality. With the 2017 eclipse, we had a partial eclipse here. We didn't have a total solar eclipse in 2017 here in Pennsylvania. And the last time there was a total solar eclipse here in Pennsylvania was in January of 1925. And then the next one here in Pennsylvania is not going to be again until 2144. So that's a long, about roughly 100 years apart. And that's a pretty big deal, because most of us, our time on Earth is not going to encompass total solar eclipses, if we don't want to travel. If we're okay with traveling, then in 2045 in the southeastern U.S., there's going to be a total solar eclipse. So it's more about it's less about there being an eclipse, less about being a total solar eclipse, and more about all of those things happening right here in Pennsylvania. Because an eclipse happens somewhere on Earth every 18 months. Whether we can see it or not, that's a whole other issue.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a total eclipse, that's a whole other thing too.
What will it be like during the eclipse within the path of totality for people here in Pennsylvania?
So that is going to be, it's not going to be like midnight. It's going to be more like the sun has just set and just gone down below the horizon. You'll see some brighter planets, maybe a couple stars, maybe even, depending on how bright it gets, the comet Pons-Brooks that is visible in the night sky right now with binoculars. Yeah, so it's getting brighter, and it's a little up in the air about whether it's going to be visible during the eclipse or not. But it's, yeah, so a bit like just after the sun is set, you'll be able to see in the path of totality, you would be able to see Venus below the sun, Jupiter above the sun, and that's what's going to likely stand out, because both of those planets are bright and you'll be able to see them for, if we're getting very technical, 3 minutes and 41 seconds, but yeah, 3 to 4 minutes.
That's if you're in the path of totality.
In the path of totality, yes.
How much does visibility change in what you're able to see if you're outside of the path of totality?
It can change. You would think, right? 98%, 100%. Like, that's close, right? It's, the sun is so bright that instead of it being as if the sun has just set or is just about to rise, it's like the sun is low on the horizon. Is more like sunset is about to happen in, say, around 90% for most of Pennsylvania. It'll get kind of dark, but not to the extent where you'll likely be able to see stars, planets, that kind of thing. It's definitely a different experience. And honestly, if it's cloudy out, you may not notice. You may think it's just a thick block of clouds moving across.
Oh, wow. Let's hope for clear skies then.
Yeah, I know.
Several state parks lie within the path of totality: Presque Isle, Erie Bluffs, Pima Tuning, MK Goddard. How busy do you expect these places to be during the eclipse?
Pretty busy. So if you're planning on visiting those parks, if your listeners are planning on visiting those parks, I would recommend really planning ahead. And I do expect them to be very busy. And should they need to, the parks are prepared to close. Not because they don't want people to come in, but once folks are in, they may have to not let any more people in just due to capacity.
Perfect. Next question. If people plan to visit a state park on April 8th, how can they stay informed about the park they plan to visit?
Check the park's DCNR website. I know some parks do have Facebooks and social media platforms that they get information out on as well. Sometimes the official communication takes longer to make it through those channels. So check on the park's official DCNR website. They'll update with any traffic pattern changes, if they're routing folks differently through the park or to the park, and that kind of thing. And also, if you live near one of these parks, consider, is there a municipal park that you could visit instead? Do you have a yard and you're able to see the sun from your yard? Just because it's a bit like, I just thought of this, but it is a bit like going to Beaver Stadium when we play Ohio State. Okay, get ready. It's going to be very busy, and people, and the energy is going to be really similar. People are going to be so excited, and it's going to be a really fun day, but it could also be a really intense and crowded day.
What do you think it is about solar eclipses that get people so hyped?
It gets dark in the middle of the day when it's not supposed to. It's weird. And it's rare. So I think it's that combination of, and I think too, the combination of just strange occurrence. What, it doesn't get dark during the middle of the day. And you can also look at the sun brief, with proper eye protection and all that.
What should people bring to view the solar eclipse? What sort of eye protection should they have?
There's a couple different ways to look at the eclipse. If you want to look at it directly, use your eyes, look at the sun. Then you are going to need some kind of certified glasses. And those solar eclipse viewing glasses are certified by ISO, a standardizing organization. And park visitors or anyone, even if you're not in a park, will need glasses with an ISO certification of 12312-2. I know, sounds like a lot. Even the ones they sell at my local grocery store, I pick them up, look inside the leg of the glasses, and it should say printed there, ISO 12312-2. And that means that it is not just some Mylar balloon that was glued in there and sold on Amazon. This is an actual certified protective coating that will keep your eyes safe. If you are, I don't know about looking at the sun. I'm not sure about that. I can't find any glasses. Okay. You can also indirectly view the sun with projectors. And I'm not talking about taking your magnifying glass and or a telescope or something and projecting the sun. I'm talking about taking, you can take a colander, take a spaghetti strainer outside, and the sun and put your back to the sun, let the sunlight stream through the spaghetti strainer, and you'll have hundreds of little eclipses on the ground in front of you. You can also make a pinhole box projector, and there's all kinds of plans for those. NASA has plans for those online, and you essentially project the sun's image inside a large box that is over your head. I know it sounds very fashionable, but it's fun, and especially if you have any kids that you're bringing out to view the eclipse with, it can be a fun project for them. Other things to bring is keep in mind you could potentially be outside for 2, 2.5 hours, and it's early April, so bring some layers because you don't really know what to expect weather-wise. And also bring some snacks and water with you. Because, especially if you're visiting the Path of Totality, you don't want to go into the convenience store and see, oh man, all they've got left is a snack that I don't really like, or, they only have, Dr. Pepper left, or, whatever you're not into. Bring stuff you like. That way you have it and you're set. Same thing goes. On a little more serious note, if you have to take medication around the time of the eclipse and you're going out, bring, if it's possible to bring some of that with you, bring it with you because you don't really know what the traffic situation is going to be. And if you need to take your medication on a set schedule, that way you can be on your schedule, for that. Oh, and patience, bring your patience.
Operate with kindness. It always helps.
Yep, exactly.
And now, let's hear from our sponsors. Build your own 3-day hiking adventure during Keystone Trails Association Spring Hiking Weekend in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, from Friday, April 19th through Sunday, April 21st. Choose from 23 different volunteer-led hikes ranging anywhere from 1 to 10 miles. Explore the Appalachian Trail, Beltsville State Park, Glen Run Nature Preserve, and so much more. Come solo to make friends or bring a friend along. Sign up at www.kta-hike.org. Are you looking for your next adventure? Unlock some of the best landscapes in Pennsylvania with the incredibly detailed, highly curated waterproof trail maps from the folks at Purple Lizard. They create extraordinary maps of Pennsylvania State Forest for people who love to explore the outdoors. Find them at your local outfitters, bike shops, and bookstores, or visit purplelizard.com, where your next adventure begins. Hey, podcast explorers. Did you know Pennsylvania State Parks and Forests are the heartbeat of our Commonwealth? They're not just natural wonders, they're vital for our well-being and local economies. That's where the Pennsylvania Parks and Forest Foundation steps in. They rally volunteers, raise funds, and advocate for these precious lands. Join the movement to preserve and enjoy our outdoor treasures. Learn more at paparksandforests.org. Let's keep Pennsylvania untamed and beautiful together. All right, back to the show. What kind of events are being held in DC in our parks and forests related to the eclipse?
In state parks and forests, we're welcoming visitors all the way up to the eclipse, through the eclipse. Like I mentioned, especially along the Path of Totality, some of those parks may reach capacity and need to stop admittance at some point if they get full. during the total solar eclipse. Leading up to the eclipse, if people are more than welcome to attend all kinds of programs. We've got programs on how to make those pinhole projectors that we were talking about, presentations on what is an eclipse, how does it all work? And people can find that information on our DCNR events calendar, and that is at events.dcnr.pa.gov, and then search in the search box for eclipse, and all kinds of things will pop up.
How might the solar eclipse affect wildlife and ecosystems in Pennsylvania?
Solar eclipses have been happening as long as there's been a moon and a sun to have them. The wildlife is, you know, slightly used to it, but it's uncommon. And they may act a little bit like a storm is coming. They may start to go through their nighttime routines. If you're in southeastern Pennsylvania, you might, I'm mentioning that because it's cold up here. There's no insects, not a lot of insect eating birds around. Bats up here are mostly still in hibernation. In southeastern PA, I think the insects are out. Insect eating birds may be around. Bats may be out of hibernation. And you may see some, you know, insect activity stop. You may see insect eating birds roost. You might see bats come out. Those aren't things we're going to be able to see in the more northern parts of the state. We may instead hear owls hooting because they're interpreting it as nighttime. They may notice deer bedding down because, again, nighttime. So it's just more like a brief just a little bit of confusion from the animals, and they start to reset and try to go through their nighttime routines, and then it's over. Oh, something I did want to talk about too is if any of your listeners are into citizen science, NASA has a program called Eclipse Soundscapes, and you can go, there's a little bit of a training program you have to go through. It's free, and then you can download either an app or be given access to a website portal where you can document, oh, I heard an owl. I saw a bat, you know, during the eclipse. And you can document, and it piggybacks off a study that was done about 100 years ago in 1935, when there was an eclipse a little bit north and east of here in New England, and they documented a bunch of things during that eclipse. And now we're hoping to capture even more information.
What educational opportunities or outreach programs are available for those who want to learn more about the solar eclipse?
So many. Again, check that DCNR events calendar. I'll say it again, events.dcnr.pa.gov. And you can, there's more things leading up to the eclipse than on the day of the eclipse itself.
Mm-hmm.
It within the path of totality, you're going to notice that parks aren't listing anything, any events the day of. That's just because there's already so much going on, and we're just trying to sort of manage folks' expectations of what can be possible with that size of a crowd. But outside the path of totality, like at Memorial Lake or Washington Crossing, or even here at Cherry Springs, we are doing some partial solar eclipse viewing. There are more parks throughout the state that aren't in the path of totality that are doing some partial eclipse viewing programs the day of.
If someone is just now planning a trip to see the total eclipse in Pennsylvania, what recommendations do you have for these late planners?
So I would think about where your friends live. Do you have any friends that live within the path of totality? You may end up with a better experience if you end up staying with or visiting folks that live along that path. Cleveland, Erie, Meadville. Because then you're already there. You're not trying to travel in day of. You have somewhere to stay, assuming your friends let you stay with them. You know, you have that sort of built in already. You're going to run into problems, especially if you're looking for a place to stay. Most everywhere is booked within the path of totality. So that's going to be, unfortunately, a bit of a pickle if you haven't already gotten a place to stay. Oh, check with your local state park for, like I mentioned, those programs, because during those programs, you could walk away with a pinhole viewer. You could walk away with eclipse glasses. It just depends on the park and what supplies they have available. But it's worth a check because then you, that's one less, your eyes will be safe then, and you don't have to try to coordinate things being out of stock online or what have you. And then again, it's a bit like going to Beaver Stadium, when we play Ohio State. It's honestly going to be a little bit nuts. So keep that in mind. If you aren't used to driving in a lot of traffic, avoid cities. The eclipse will be just as visible off a side county road as it would in the middle of a city. So, don't get yourself into situations where you're not comfortable. If you're not used to driving in rural areas, maybe that's not the suggestion for you. But if you already live in a rural part of the state, you're comfortable driving in rural areas, consider more remote places that you could visit, because then you aren't going to be with a ton of crowds. Speaking of remote, something to keep in mind is a lot of these state parks don't have great cell phone service. If you're thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to try my luck. I'm going to go to these state parks. I'm going to get there early. I'm going to be one of the first ones in. Let's do this. Great. They may not have great cell phone service. Keep that in mind if you're a kind of you need to be connected for whatever reason. That might not be possible, especially with an overloaded cellular network. If there's 10 times as many people in the area, you might get a lot of busy signals.
GPS, Wi-Fi, those are all impacted the moment you start leaving cities. Even if people can't make it to the path of totality, how easy will it be for Pennsylvanians to get a good view of the eclipse?
Provided you can see the sun, I think it should be relatively easy. The hardest part is going to making sure that you can see the sun. And that sounds a little tongue in cheek. However, what if you live in a really densely populated area? There's buildings and it's hard, so if you live somewhere where there's lots of buildings in the way and you can never, just based on the time of day that it's happening, there's this tall structure in the way and you're not going to be able to see it. Okay, you're going to have to be able to plan. Well, where's the sun? Pay attention around 2, 3, 4. Where's the sun at? And in the days leading up to the eclipse, figure out where the sun is during that time of day and make sure that you can see. You can, if it's safe for you to do so, you can stand on your sidewalk and take a look at the sun. You don't have to necessarily go anywhere. Another thing to keep in mind, though, with seeing the sun is those clouds. It's spring, and some places still have snow. Hi, from up here in northern Pennsylvania, we still have some snow up here, and that snow is melting and going, the water vapor is going up into the atmosphere. And it's also just a cloudy time of year. And so, even if you planned it out, you know exactly where you're going, you have a good view of the sun. If it's cloudy, that's kind of tough.
What are some tips you have for people who hope to see the total eclipse?
Make a reservation now. Well, make a reservation 3 months ago, but if you haven't planned, that happens. Make your reservation now if you're hoping to stay overnight. Lots of places are filling up. Plan to arrive early and stay late, just to get parking spaces and traffic congestion and general delays. And with that in mind, have a plan B spot in mind. Have, your number one, I want to go to, for example, Presque Isle State Park, and we're going to go there and view the total solar eclipse. Have a plan B, because what if they're at capacity when you get there? What if you've had enough of being stuck in traffic and you're ready to go for plan B? Just have a plan B in mind. That way, you're not having to think on your feet when you're, stuck in traffic and maybe not thinking as clearly as you would have liked. Also, wherever you get, please park responsibly. The world is not your parking lot as much as during the eclipse we wish it would be. It's not. So please park in designated spots and do so neatly. I know sometimes there's no lines. It's a gravel field that you park in. We all know what a neat parking job looks like. Please stick to that. We talked about planning for no cell signal and planning for the weather. So keeping in mind, will it be cloudy? Will it be cold? Bring some layers so you're prepared.
Well, Susan, thanks so much for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Christian. Thanks so much for having me on.
I want to thank my guest, Susan Schneck, for joining the podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Meta for more information about upcoming episodes. You can support the podcast by buying merch at hemlockstohellbenders.com, or you can click support this show in the podcast description to provide a monthly donation. If you're a Pennsylvania business interested in advertising with the podcast, email us at hemlockstohellbenders@gmail.com. This has been Hemlocks to Hellbenders. I'll see you out there. Hosting, production, and editing by Christian Alexanderson. Music by John Sauer. Graphics by Matt Davis.